Also, today we continue in what is a 12-week long sermon series connecting us to the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Back to the Source, as you've heard, is our sermon series, and we're looking back to the source of Scripture to see what the biblical text has to tell us about words that very often we use frequently in our lives of faith, but maybe we've forgotten a little bit what they might mean, or maybe we thought we knew what they mean, and it turns out they mean something very different. This morning, we're looking at the term calling or vocation. Those are interchangeable words, calling, vocation. And we're going to look briefly at a few biblical texts to set up that question. First, from the Old Testament prophet of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish. Now it's important to know basic geography. Nineveh's that way. Tarshish is as far as you can go that way. Okay? Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. From the Gospel of Matthew, we hear a story near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And from the Apostle Paul, we read words written to the church in Corinth. "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us turn to God in prayer. O Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, let your words sit with us. Help us to hear the new truth that you are speaking in your old story, and move us with lives of courage to respond to your call. In the name of Christ, your word made flesh, we pray. Amen. The poet Mary Oliver asks this question. She says, "Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life." Your one wild and precious life. Let me tell you about Kathy. Kathy grew up in the church. As a child, her family was in worship nearly every Sunday. They made sure she was in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, children's choirs, you name it. When she was old enough, she was presented a Bible by her home church family, just like our kids were this morning. Kathy was a bright kid who did really well in school, and her favorite subject was science. She loved to learn about birds and insects, plants and soil. And then one day when she was 10 years old, she was in church with her family. They stood to sing the opening hymn that morning, that old, old hymn that echoes the same themes we sang in our psalm today. This is my Father's world. At the end of the first verse, the whole church family sang these words. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. For some reason, her young mind latched on to the beauty of those phrases. Rocks and trees, skies and seas. These were the things that had fascinated her curiosity in school, and now she was singing about them as wonders wrought by the hand of God. And right then, in church, deep, deep down in her gut, she felt something. A sense of connection. Something calling her, compelling her to connect those dots, to weave together what she loved to study with her mind and what God wanted her to do with her life. For the rest of the day, she wrestled with these thoughts, and by the time she went to bed that night, she knew it. She knew, clear as day, what she was going to do with her life. Her one wild and precious life. When she grew up, she was going to be a park ranger. She was going to study those rocks and trees, those skies and seas, those birds and insects. She was going to study them so that she could take care of them and then share their wonder with others. She knew it's what she wanted to do, but it was more than that. It was more than just what she wanted. It was what God was calling her to do. And she followed that calling for the rest of her life. For over 30 years now, she has been a dedicated and faithful park ranger. The Apostle Paul writes to a group of his friends, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Consider your own call." This church that he's writing to in Corinth is one that Paul started just a few years before he sent this letter. But it seems he's been gone long enough for some major issues to develop in the church. The people in Corinth have reached out to Paul asking for his advice on questions of theology and worship and ethical issues. And our biblical book of 1 Corinthians is Paul's long response letter back to them. There was a lot going on in that church, too much to cover in one sermon. But most of their conflicts and questions were flavored by the fact that they were a very diverse church in a very diverse port city. Some of them were Jews who'd begun worshiping Jesus. Some were Gentiles. A few of them were rich, upper-class patrons, but most of them were poor and even destitute. Some of them had long lineages of privilege, families that had been in Corinth for generations, and many others were children of former slaves who had come to town as immigrants to start their lives and their families over. Some of them were Republicans and some of them were Democrats. As one biblical commenter puts it, that church family was characterized by status inconsistency. Status inconsistency. That is, they weren't all the same. And in those days, those patriarchal, hierarchical days of the Roman Empire, that was a very unusual thing. To be gathered together on a regular basis with a group of people who were not of the same social status as yourself. Not only that, but to be treating one another as equals, that was scandalous. And it was something that was hard for the church in Corinth to navigate. So in the beginning of his letter, Paul says to them, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Consider your call. Think about why you are in this community. Remember how you got here in the first place. And then he paints a pretty unflattering picture of them. He says, most of you weren't wise. Most of you weren't born into the best families in town, but God called you anyway. God chose what was foolish and weak and low and despised. God chose you. God called you together into this life so that your identity together would be shaped by a shared experience of Jesus Christ. Not by all those trappings of status that the world says are so, so important. This passage, of course, isn't just written to an ancient church in Corinth. It's written to us as well. We're invited to read over their shoulders, to listen in on their conversation, because we are a part of their story and their struggle as well. This scripture invites us to consider our callings. Consider your call, brothers and sisters. Now, in the days of the New Testament, to be called by God meant, most of the time, to become a member of the church, to become a Christian in the first place. How we experience that calling to the faith may be different for each and every one of us, but we're all called to the same place, to the waters of baptism. And we're all called from those waters, called out into the world to live in new ways that together celebrate God's grace and show Christ's love. But over time, as the centuries pass, the Christian church transformed from this small, insignificant group of nobodies into the most powerful religious and political force on the face of the known world. In the era of the Middle Ages, the church began to change how it talked about calling, who it considered important enough to have been called by God. They said it was only the priests and monks or nuns, only those called to full-time positions of religious leadership who had been called by God. And all the rest of us were just ordinary, unimportant folks who were along for the ride. It was into that context, that hierarchical context, that the Protestant reformers like Martin Luther and John Calvin burst onto the scene saying something new that was really something very, very old. They looked at the way the medieval church talked about calling, about vocation, and they saw a conflict with the truth they read in Scripture. They turned back to the words of Paul and other biblical sources to open things up and remind all people that they had all been called by God. This teaching became known as the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers. That is, it's all of us, not just a select few, all of us who are called to live in ways that show God's love. And all of life, therefore, becomes an opportunity for following God's particular call for each and every one of us. In the wake of the Reformation, jobs or occupations that had previously been viewed as unimportant or lowly in society were given a new sense of purpose and meaning as part of God's calling. Martin Luther famously said that if God called you to be the person who made barrels so that beer could be transported, then by all means glorify God by making the best beer barrels you can. And know that God, with all his angels, is smiling down on you. Unfortunately, still today, 500 years after the Reformation, we still fall into those old traps, don't we? We still elevate on a pedestal some folks in society, some folks who have certain jobs and occupations, and treat them like they're more important than everyone else. We talk in our world today as if the only point of education is to get a job, and the only point of a job is to make as much money as you can, and the only point of money is to buy as many things as you can to show everyone else how important you are. We boast all the time, but we don't boast in the Lord that often. We boast in all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. We look down on those who don't have what we have, who don't work where or how we work, who can't afford the things that we can, who didn't go to the same schools. But remember, Paul says, remember who God chooses and calls and why. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And we're just as bad within the church as well. Most of the time, we only use the word calling to talk about our pastors. And the years of training it takes for Anna or myself or Sarah Jordan, who we celebrated today, and the years of training it takes to become a pastor, there are many times where we are asked to tell our story of call. How did you hear God calling you into this ministry? That's a good thing to do. Don't get me wrong, it's important. But there's something missing if we're only asking that question of a very small, select few people. There's something missing if we don't ask others to share their stories of call as well, many of which are probably way more interesting and entertaining. What about the story of call for teachers or nurses or doctors? What's your story of call? What about computer programmers or truck drivers? What about parents or grandparents? I want to hear those stories of call. What about scientists or engineers? What about lifeguards or lawyers or paralegals or judges? What about accountants or managers or retirees or salespeople or musicians? What about fundraisers or financial analysts or janitors or volunteers or advocates for important causes? What about spouses or caregivers for folks who are sick? What about artists or authors? What about the folks who make the beer barrels? What about park rangers? What about you? You. Each and every one of you, what is your story of call? How have you heard God at work in your life, calling you, guiding you, leading you into the community of faith, and then sending you out into the world to use your gifts in particular ways in service for God's kingdom? Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Paul says to all of us, take time to remember it, to meditate on it, to celebrate it as a gift. Consider your call. Did you run away from that call at first, like the prophet Jonah, because you were afraid of what God was calling you to do? Are you still running away from it today? Or did you drop everything and follow immediately, like those disciples on the boat, who make the rest of us all look bad? Did you feel that call early in life like Samuel, or late in life like Abraham and Sarah? Are you called to start something new like Paul, or are you called to mentor the next generation like Barnabas? Are you in a time in your life experiencing a crisis of calling, wondering if this is right or what might be next? Do you have particular gifts, skills, passions, resources that God is calling you to use in a new way? Friends, that's what stewardship, what Dedication Sunday is all about using God's gifts in our lives to follow God's calling with our whole lives. Hear this clearly. The question is not if you are called, but how you are called. Each and every one of us. Not if you are called, but how. How. And remember the good news of the one who called you in the first place. The good news that God has claimed you in these waters as belonging to a long, long lineage of faith, hope, and love in the family of Jesus Christ around the world. Remember the good news that as God sends you out, He does so with the gift of grace, God's grace, made real in Jesus Christ, that is all sufficient, all we need to follow our calling in life and in death as we belong to God. To God be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.